You'll notice that Pastor's not here, Leo's not here, Bob's not here, so you get the third string quarterback today. Well, when I was asked to preach today, I didn't have to think about it too hard because I've been thinking about what our church needs right now, and I think we just need a little bit of encouragement. We've been doing a lot of hard work. We've been a lot of blessed. Oh, Bob is here. I'm sorry. He's sitting right there. I'm sure he may have been asked before I was. We just need some encouragement, and especially for parents out there. I see all you parents working so hard, you know, running a life, running a family, running a business, and trying to help out at church, and you're doing a really, really good job. But sometimes you just need some help. And I just wanted to go through some things today that would help you out. If I was in your place, I would want some this type of thing to you today. And as a matter of fact, I've said this to some of you, I look around and I just roll back the clock about 20 years and I see our families out there in you guys right now. Between the Carters and the Sneeds and the Bensons, we put 19 kids through this church. And some of them are still here today. Thank you for being here, Miriam. So I just want to encourage you today and listen, I think you'll enjoy what I have to say. So I can't believe I finally reached this point. You know, my kids are 17 is my youngest kid, almost 18, and I have a 28-year-old, and I don't feel like I've gotten all of there yet, but it's kind of fun to look back and see my kids, how they've grown up, and see your kids, how they're growing right now, and you have nothing to worry about. Your kids are going to be just fine. You're doing a great, great job. I just want to go through this as fast as I can. I went through my sermon, and it only took me 21 minutes to read. But that was cut down from about a three-hour parenting seminar. So I'm just going to run through this as rapidly as I can for you. Let's talk about some biblical insights in parenting. You know, I'm 100% confident that all of you have scoured the scriptures looking for help on how to run your family, how to be a great parent, how to deal with your kids. You know, but where are you going to find it? Where's that passage that says how to help my newborn kid when she's crying or he's crying? What's the best way to get my baby to sleep through the night? Cloth diapers are disposable. Baby food from a jar or table food, breastfeeding or formula, spanking or lectures, church nursery or sit with parents, daycare or home, stay at home, artificial food coloring or organic, preschool or kindergarten, homeschool, private school, public school, early, better, late. Where are these decisions found for you in the Bible? It's hard. Allowances or not, the right chores, TV and movie choices, video games, cell phones, Facebook, sleepovers. Find that in the scripture. I dare you. Should piano, violin, taekwondo, soccer, swimming? I just went crazy trying to think of where are you going to find these answers in the Bible. They're hard to find. So, but keep looking. They're in there. So before you get up and leave, I want to encourage you. There are some principles that we can use to help us with these decisions. So I like firsts. If you look at the book of Genesis, Genesis is just loaded with firsts. And the firsts that are in Genesis are firsts that are profound and definitive. When God mentions something for the first time, it's very, very decisive in how God wants to lay it out. There's the first day, there's the first week, the first people, the first marriage, the first sin, and there's even the first child in Genesis. Genesis 4:1 says, "And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, teach us principles and insights that can help make us better parents today. Amen. So insight number one. The translation I just read for you was the King James translation. And what we read there is pretty clear. Let me just read it again. "And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord." I want you to note in Eve's exclamation that she recognized that what she bore was a man. It's not a baby. It's not an infant. It's not even a boy. And it's not a child. There are words in the Hebrew that describe all those things, but she didn't use any of those words. And it's translated for us, a man. And unfortunately, that is the hardest word in that passage to translate. It's a word that's about 80% pronoun and 20% concept. What Eve realized was that, well, this is the first baby that's ever been born, and it's male like Adam, but it's not Adam, and it's a human being, it's a person like Adam and I. And she recognized it was a male person. And I think that's an intriguing insight. You know, when I became a father and I took a look at this little baby, I kind of looked at my job as being, it's my turn to be a child, a parent of a child rearer, a child raiser. And it would have helped me a lot from day one to realize that I was raising a person, a divinely created, inspired person of God who someday is going to be an adult. You know, I had this short-term look on things that said, this is a kid, I've just got to get this kid through diapers, and I just got to get this kid through toddlers and terrible twos. And I didn't have the focus that said, this is a long-term thing. This kid that's sitting in front of me is going to be a person someday. How can I help that person today get there? That kind of insight would have helped me a lot. I think Eve's attitude was right out from day one. You know, when the days get long and you've been at work all day, you've been struggling, you're having kids that are making noise and you're frustrated, and it just doesn't seem like now is the time to be thinking about the long term. But it is. These are really great days to be imagining what your child is going to be and helping them get there. These little ones that you're looking at right now are going to be doctors. They're going to be nurses, selfless and tireless workers. They're going to be patient, joyful teachers. They're going to be pastors, deacons, missionaries, military heroes. These people have a great future that are in your families right now. So moms and dads, do not be surprised when your kids grow wise, when they grow strong and full of understanding. It is their destiny, and God has given you the plan to do that, and it's the best plan imaginable. You're the best people that are due for that. The second insight comes from the very next verse, Genesis 4:2. Let me read that for you. And she again bore his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. Now, wait a minute. We went from having babies to the adult specializations of Cain and Abel. She bore again his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, and Cain was a tiller of the ground. This would have been a great opportunity to throw in about three chapters on parenting. I would have loved to see how Cain and Abel dealt with sick toddlers. You know, what happens when the kids start to do a potty mouth? You know, all those sleepless nights. Cain and Abel fighting over whose turn it is to feed the T-Rex. You know, how do you do that? What to do when Abel starts to wet the bed? Or what happens when Cain thinks there's a monster under the tent? You know, I would have loved to have seen the two chapters that fit right here that explain how Adam and Eve figured that out. That would have been great. This would be a perfect opportunity to put that text in here. Well, I think God left these chapters out for a reason. I think God left these chapters out because raising kids in the Garden of Eden is very different than raising kids in this city today. If God had placed a ton of information here for us about raising Cain and Abel, would it really have helped us raise these kids? I think if it was there, we probably would have had to dissect it and try to pull out the principles that were in there. It would have been very difficult to see the principles through the details. Raising kids today in the Garden of Eden would have been two different tasks entirely. Training the next generation is a job that must be tailor-made by real-time moms and dads. Even going back two or three generations, the moms and dads from two or three generations ago would have been lost trying to help our kids today. We need the insights and wisdom that we can gain from God walking with them today to train kids for today. I think that's why God left it out. Our walk with God is plenty good enough. Continue to study and search God's Word for answers. I really encourage that. But if you don't find them, take heart that God has placed your children in your family because you are the best qualified to produce the next generation. Even if you don't have all the answers, you are the best qualified. God left out these chapters because, well, kids are pretty resilient. Kids are pretty resilient. Parents goof a lot. But ask anyone who has had a childhood scars if those scars kept them from becoming what God has planned for them, And you'll see that even the bitter can be part of who we are. Of course, I'm not asking you to abuse your children. You know, don't do that. Just to give them some character. That's not what I'm asking. But perhaps we don't have to be quite so uptight about some of the mistakes we make. Children do suffer a lot of unfortunate damage today. But believe me, only the very worst of intentional abuse cannot be undone. To be honest, I was raised with a lot of strife and emotional struggle, but I hardly remember any of that. I asked my kids some help with this message. We had a little party at Applebee's, and I asked them, you know, what do you remember about growing up? What are the good? What are the bad? And I was just overjoyed to hear all the good things they remember. There was only a few bad memories that still lingered, but to be honest, just be honest and real with your children. Be comforted with the knowledge that they will love and forgive and forget better than anyone else other than Jesus. They are extremely resilient. God left these children out because God knows raising kids isn't just for the kids' sake. I'm sure the kids won't like to hear this, so close your ears, kids. But the truth is that suddenly being 100% responsible for a crying, pooping, drooling little baby brings out the very best in us. That is what helps us grow. Be comforted, Mom and Dad. These little ones won't be little forever. And your role in God's kingdom is a bigger plan, much bigger than just your kids. Deciding curfews and applying timeouts won't win you points today with your kids or with your preteen, but remember that you are in the school of world leadership. And how you raise your kids, how you argue and struggle over those things is going to help you be a better person as well. The quick thinking and creativity that's gained only by being a mom and dad is what's going to make you a smart future person. God more than understands this. He planned for it. He also knows your children and your mistakes are part of that equation. So you can relax a little bit. 1 Timothy 3:4 reminds us that our parental experience is what qualifies deacons for church service. Listen to this. He must be one who manages his own household well, keeping his children under control with all dignity. You kids are training your parents to be church leaders just by giving them the opportunity to help you face the world before you. God left out these chapters because the details aren't going to make or break your children's future. Your children probably will never know and may never even care that you decided to use disposable diapers. You made them handmade clothes or cut a cable TV from your house or installed an internet filter on your wireless home router. However, they will remember that you cared enough to agonize over these decisions because they are the most valuable people in their lives. Your children will never thank you for driving them all over town, paying for the food on the table, or fending off phone solicitors, but they will remember that you tried to make growing up fun for them. Believe me, your children will balk at chores, push back at bedtime, beg to skip Sunday school, and hate putting homework before video games. But when they are older and they tackle challenges with a good attitude and hard work with little reward, they will have absolutely no clue where that inner character came from. Mom and Dad, it came from you, making those hard decisions, showing them that you care. So, Eve had a great attitude. She was raising an adult right from day one. She realized that she was raising an adult right from day one. And God left out much of what we could have used during that first mom and dad situation because I think we are going to be the best mom and dad he has right here. So are there any other passages in the Scripture we can turn to? There are a few. One of my favorites is Proverbs 22:6. You've heard this before. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. I have taken a lot of comfort from this verse during my years of parenting, but you must temper these words with some context. We need to understand that Proverbs is not entirely a book of promises, but it is a book of great observations. It is true. It is true. Adults will draw upon the foundations that were laid in their childhood to be the people they are and face the world around them. So it is important that we lay great foundations while they are young because they're going to draw upon those foundations to live right. So here's some foundation suggestions. Your children must be led to know Jesus. I think that's obvious, right? Your children must be led to know Jesus. Take your child to Sunday school and church worship. Make Bible reading to your kids a daily activity. Build in them the foundation that will profit them the most. It will be impossible to eliminate all bad forms of entertainment from your child's diet. But you do have the opportunity to reinforce those foundations you are building with movies and games that do. Fiction and stories aren't evil per se. They're more like very, very long parables. So, I'd encourage you to teach your children how to think critically, how to analyze those stories and the entertainment that they're watching, and use and find out what the good and bad messages are that are in those stories and weigh them against God's truth. You can do that. There are adult concepts that are not age appropriate for children. Everybody knows that. But I just challenge you to be anticipating the next concept your child is ready for. Because if they come begging for information about it, you're probably too late. Begin preparing them for those concepts in advance. You'll know exactly when they're ready for that next stretch, and you'll be able to anticipate it. Speak and communicate with words and images that challenge your children with new abstractions, concepts, and principles every single day. You'd be surprised what kids are ready for in terms of their knowledge or their ability to soak in and take up knowledge. They're ready for early concepts, probably even before you think they are. So to constantly be using large words and big concepts and help them. It leaves a gap in their head that says, I've got to fill that someday. I'm gonna find the answer to that question. My dad or my mom just used a big word. I'm going to find out what that means someday. It builds in them that curiosity to learn. Involve your kids in a lot of activities, not just to entertain them, not just to be a rush and a busyness, but be purposeful and intentional in search of their God-given skills and talents. And this will encourage them. I know there's lots of people that go to basketball and soccer and swimming, and they're in this thing, and they're rushing all over town. I'm glad you're doing that. But what you're going to do in that activity, keeping those kids busy in those activities, you're going to find something that they really excel in and that you can then encourage them to become a master at. They will really benefit in the years to come. This whole topic today is about kids. We need a whole another sermon about teenagers. So invite me back sometime. We'll talk about teenagers. But when your teenagers are ready, having a skill that they master is going to be very important in their lives. Work alongside your kids. This is really important. A lot of times we just say, hey, go to your room and clean it up. Well, that's going to work for maybe an older kid, but your newer kids need to be seeing you working with them. Come with me. Let's go clean up your room together. Come with me. Let's go straighten the bedroom. Well, we need to work out in the yard for a while. Let's go trim the grass for a while. Working alongside your kids is very important. Do their homework with them. I love, Susan gave me a huge paper on how their family has been growing and working and living through their struggles as growing up kids. And she mentioned that as a big one. Do homework with your kids. Find out what their best way to learn and how they learn their school and work with them through it. Do their homework with them. Not for them, of course. Do it with them. I don't know of any one single verse in Scripture to draw upon to emphasize the importance of family traditions. But if you take several verses as a whole, you find out that God built regular celebrations into the life of the people of Israel to form traditions that families could draw upon. You know, when there was a celebration in Israel, when there was a feast and everybody went to Jerusalem, they sacrificed an animal. It was very important for them to see this animal die for their sins, pay a price, understand that God was very serious about sin. But several of those festivals were meant so that sacrifice would become part of a barbecue. They would actually eat it together. They would eat it with their neighbors. They would eat it with their friends if there was too much food. It became part of the traditions of their family to go regularly to Jerusalem. 1 Samuel 1:3 talks about this man Elkanah. Now this man would go up from his city yearly to worship and sacrifice to the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. If you remember the rest of that passage, they actually had a feast about it. It was a time of a party. It was a time of a celebration. And he tried so hard to help everybody enjoy it, including his wife that had no children. He wanted that to be a celebration that his family would look forward to and be happy about. Family traditions become more and more important. Just think back in your own family. What is your identity as a family person? It comes from the things you did together as a family. It comes from the things you did that make your family unique. So I just encourage you, work and encourage the family traditions that are going on in your house. When I talked with my kids, I was delighted to learn from my kids that we have a ton of family traditions. The Carters have a ton of family traditions. I talked with Jim Sneed for a while. Their family has family traditions. Family traditions are very important to my kids. For over 10 years, we don't have a Sunday evening church now, but for over 10 years, we would come to Sunday evening church, and then we would pick up Chinese on the way home, and we'd go home and watch a family movie. We did that for over 10 years. It became something my family looked forward to. Oh, we're going to go to church, we're going to have Chinese, we're going to watch a movie. They loved it. It was just, they even miss it today. I hear my kids say, well, are we going to have Chinese? You know, it'd be just like when we had those evenings of family movies. They look forward to it a lot. Not as regularly, but for several years, we made the first Friday of the month family game night. It wasn't quite as regular, but our kids looked forward to that too. We'd get a board game, we'd play some sort of a game, we'd have fun. Janet and I took turns taking our children out to breakfast on Saturday for a one-on-one date. We had six kids, and so they looked forward to their one-on-one date with mom and dad, and unfortunately it took 12 weeks to cycle through and get from dad to dad again, but they would get dad and mom every 6 weeks. They really looked forward to that. They looked forward to the time we'd take them to breakfast, we'd talk about things. Some of my kids, they said, you know, some of the talks we had while we were out on breakfast were some of the most important talks they ever remember. So go have those one-on-one dates with your kids. They love that. Every year we would go to the Mall of America and get one of those dress-up costume-like portraits. You know, you dress up like cowboys and Indians or Victorian Europe or gangsters. We have all these pictures that we took, dress-up pictures from Mall of America, and they're just fun. We got them lined up on our mantle, and it's a good to walk into the house and see all these pictures. They don't have a really good one at the Mall of America anymore, but last time we got one at the Wisconsin Dells. It was a great time. So that's become part of our family tradition. I bought a cheap two-man inflatable raft. And I would take the kids one at a time after supper, and we would float down the Zumbro River. And it was just a great time. The kids looked forward to that a lot. And we'd see owls and eagles and deer and beavers, and we'd ride through the rapids, we'd get stuck on sand, and we'd have to get out and get muddy, and they looked forward to that a lot. I had a lot of fun doing that. For many years, we took the family vacation to someplace that wasn't a visit the relatives vacation. You know, visit the relatives vacations are still very important. You got to take them to those. But pick some other trip. Go someplace else that isn't a visit the relatives trip. We went to the Black Hills and the Badlands and Yellowstone, Grand Tetons. We went to Colorado, Ouray, Colorado, Arizona, San Antonio, Washington, D.C. Early, we went to Florida. We also made the March Chicago Bible Quizzing Tournament a family vacation. I'm involved in Bible quizzing, and so we would go to this tournament in Chicago, and we'd visit all the museums while we were there. We'd see all the aquariums and stuff. The kids really look forward to that. We would take all the kids in the neighborhood and to a park near Soldier's Field, and we would play Lava Monster together. We took the whole neighborhood. Carters came with us. We met the Sneeds there. We met other kids while we were there. We got them involved in the game. They had a great time. Since there was only a few truly rated G movies when my kids were growing up, we had watched all the rated G movies 100 times. And so I would go looking for other movies we could watch. And it turns out that I would bring home old movies from the 30s and the 40s and the 50s, black and white movies. They were rated G. They didn't have any sex or violence in them. They were just good fashioned dramas and excitement and suspense. And my kids learned about our older generation, from the culture of our older generation, from these movies. It wasn't a perfect picture, of course. It's Hollywood. But at least they did a pretty good job of getting some adult dialogue and some adult themes that they really look forward to. And this has built so many bridges in my kids' lives where they can talk to other adults and relate with them because they know what these other adults went through and grew up with, what their favorite movies were. It has really helped them a lot. Sometimes it's hard to bridge the generations. And sometimes our kids are drifting away from the older generation because the older generation doesn't know what, you know, the Lego movie is and stuff like that. But if we can teach our kids a little bit about the older generation, we can bridge that the other way. Many birthday parties included an obstacle course that kids could run. Camping and fishing, Carter's mentioned that. Sneed's mentioned that. Camping and fishing will always be remembered by your kids. Take them camping. Take them fishing. They will love that. The Benson family likes cooking on Wednesday nights. You've noticed that. And Sunday breakfast, this has become a tradition that we really, really appreciate. It's our opportunity to serve, and it's become a heritage and a tradition that we just love. So thank you for giving us that that privilege. Parenting isn't all love and joy, as you guys already are familiar with. There are going to be some regrets, and if you can find somebody that's made it through parenting without any regrets, let's get them up here to talk next week. I'd love to hear that guy talk. But there's going to be some regrets. I want to just kind of finish up here with kind of a testimony about some of the regrets I've experienced as my job as a parent, and hope I can save you from some of that same regret. Ephesians 6:4 says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." You know, I'm just being a little bit silly here, but I've often thought there was a typo there. It should be, "Children, don't provoke your fathers to anger." But no, it's the other way around. "Fathers, don't provoke your children to anger." This one verse is amazing. You know, in those two little half sentences are principles that we can use to help our children probably the most. But again, you know, like the passage in Genesis, there's a little bit of struggle here with translation. I'm just going to read a couple other translations for you, and you'll get the picture of what I'm talking about. Depending on which translation you have, the "don't" part of this verse says, "Do not exasperate your children." That's from the NIV. The ESV says, "Do not provoke your children to anger." King James says, "Provoke not your children to wrath." Holman Christian Standard says, "Don't stir up anger in your children." "Don't make your children bitter about life." "Do not irritate your children." There's a lot of translations of this because the particular words that are used here are not particularly clear. But from all these translations, you can kind of get a picture, don't you? There's something about the adult mind. We have more strength. We have more understanding. Our emotions are a little bit more powerful and resilient. And we are powerful enough to actually toy and manipulate children. And sometimes it's unintentional. We can take a child's body and soul, you know, to a degree where they become frustrated and they don't even know why. Their emotions aren't as under control as ours are, and we can actually tease them into bad situations. So be very careful about that. That's one of my biggest regrets. When a child experiences this situation, it kind of, and especially from their own parents, it can kind of close their hearts a little bit, and it can possibly never be reversed. So this is a big caution for you. God never wants this to happen. Children form their picture of God from their picture of us. We have all experienced that rock in a hard spot position, right? Darned if you do, darned if you don't. When a kid experiences that, they have no idea what's going through their lives. All they know is that I am being tormented. I am in some sort of a torture right now, and I don't know what that is. When it's from our own parents, it can be devastating. I know for a fact that no parent in this room has ever deliberately or maliciously wished this on their own kids, right? We all are super sensitive to this, and we don't want this to happen. Unfortunately, it can happen accidentally. And you can fail even when you're not trying to. Your children were born with an insatiable hunger to please you. They will do anything to please you. They will do anything to make you happy. And it can be very cute at times. I love seeing all the Facebook pictures of so-and-so doing this and so-and-so doing that. Those are really cute. And they're trying to please you. They realize that it gets you to smile when they do those things. They'll do it again. But if they catch us off guard and they're trying to please us, we can kind of interpret that as being, you know, fishing for a compliment. Or, "Daddy, would you praise me again, again and again and again?" And it can get kind of old on us parents. So don't get caught off guard. They don't even recognize they're doing it. They might be trying to please you and please you again, but go with it. Encourage them anyway. As parents, we take on a huge responsibility to protect our children, to help them become better at everything we do, to grow and to reach the next level of whatever they are doing. However, if you combine some criticism on top of this desire for your children to please, it can be devastating. It's natural that when we see our children weak, we want them to be tougher. When we see them emotionally insecure, we want them to be more self-confident. We evaluate their effort and work with a critical eye to help them grow to the next level, academically and intellectually. But sadly, though, if we do this critical work on improving their lives when they're not asking for it, when they're just seeking our approval, it can come out wrong. It can actually, in their own little minds, they're saying, I'm trying to make mom and dad happy, but all I get is this, I could do better. I'm trying to make mom and dad pleased, and all they're getting is, I didn't do it right. And that can be very negative. Watch out for that. Your kids are thinking, the harder I try, the less it pleases my parents. And eventually they may stop trying. So be very, very careful for that. That's the biggest regret in my life. So how about some suggestions? Be aware of your child's development level at all areas of their life and enthusiastically encourage every step they make forward. If they are better today than they were yesterday, even though they're not college level, whatever, just say, that is better than yesterday. Nice job. Encourage them. When your baby rolls over for the first time, you take pictures of it and you throw it up on Facebook. When they sit up by themselves, you take a video of it. When they take their first step forward, it goes viral among your family. That's the kind of encouragement that we have for our little bitty kids. But can you keep that encouragement going through all of their life? It takes a lot of work to start seeing it when they're 6 and 7 and 8. They don't have the same daily development like your babies do. But you still have to be aware of it so you can encourage it. And don't wait for them to come and say, look, Mom, I did this better than last week. Go looking for it. Go looking for it. Be so aware of how and what their development level is that you can go looking for it. I mentioned before I was in Bible quizzing. And right now, during the summer, we're off season, right? Last time I saw Bible quizzing kids was in March. I'll see them again in September. And boy, what 5 or 6 months does to a kid that changes them. They grow so much. You can see it when you're away from them for 5 or 6 months. Your kids are doing that right now all through the summer. They're growing like mad. But when we see them every day, we don't see it. When we watch them, we don't even notice it. But be aware of it. It's happening right now. Many years ago, I saw a kid paint a car for the April Kids Club Pinewood Derby. That was a long time ago. None of those people are here anymore. They poured their heart into getting that little car painted right. They selected a color that would make that car look really nice, and they pulled their dad by the hand over to look at their car. And the dad looked at it, and it must have been a bad day. He must have been used to dealing with employees that he had to judge and criticize their work to make it perfect because the employer has to get this contracting job just right. They poured their little heart into getting that thing right. And the dad just pointed out the flaws, the drips, and just returned to kind of a neutral look to the kid. And I can remember the look on that kid's face. I just about died that day, seeing how disappointed that kid was that they had done this amazing thing. In their heart and mind, they thought, this is the best thing I've ever done in my life. I've never painted a car all by myself. I've never done that before. Look, Dad, I did this. And the dad just responded with drips. We've got to be really careful to see the excitement that's in your kid's eye. What have they done that's been so cool? And just run with it. Encourage it. Strengthen it. Janet and I homeschooled our children. And we'd encourage anybody that wants to homeschool to think about it too. But one of our big regrets is that we criticized everything our kids did with this homeschool-like attitude. That everything's an A or a B or a C. No matter whether it was school or not, we just thought, oh, homeschool means you can school 24/7, right? Everything's a learning experience. Well, that can go wrong. It can go wrong. If your kids aren't in a learning experience, if they're just having fun, if they're just doing something that they thought of because they decided to be creative one day, don't judge it with an ABC type of a judgment. Just give them the grade A. They're doing hard. They're loving what they're doing. They're just super excited about it. Give them a grade A. Be watching for your kids to do that and encourage them even before they come and bring it to your attention. Put up a whiteboard and mark on the things you see your kids doing right. Bring home a surprise award from time to time just because they're being consistent. Recognize that they're just being great. Of course, there are times to correct behavior, But if you are a fountain of encouragement, that's going to work out great. You're going to end up coaching your kid through that problem, not being a critical point for them. Often ignoring or overlooking bad or poor behavior, get this, often overlooking or ignoring bad or poor behavior when good behavior is being heartily recognized is the best way. You'll be surprised at how many bad things your kids do. They will stop doing it immediately if they don't get any rewards for it. If you don't recognize it, if you just ignore it, there's some things you can actually ignore. My kid just did something wrong. Ignore it. If you're encouraging all this other good behavior, that bad behavior will last a day. They picked it up at some friend's house, and they're trying it out at home to see if they get a reaction out of you. If you just come down on them and just say, we're going to fix that right now, it's going to give them the negative attention that maybe they wanted. Sometimes you just ignore it. It's going to work out great. You know, obviously this one don't is a regret of my life, and I hope it never becomes one of yours. However, there is a do in this verse. The do half of this verse is kind of like the parents' mission statement. Bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. I'm grateful to see that all you guys are doing that very well. First on your list is to see that your children are taught about Jesus. Do this at home. Do this in the car. Do this before bedtime, around the dinner table, through the movies and entertainment you enjoy, as well as Sunday school and church worship. This is often one of the places we as parents feel the most inadequate. A lot of people say, oh, I can't train my children in doctrine. I can't train my children in all the principles of apologetics. You know, don't think that way. You are the best parent. You're the best person to be able to do that. Just train them from your heart. Go through them. Read the Bible with them. It will work great. Encourage every single step your child takes towards a deeper understanding of God and His plan. Every single step. If your child prays a little bit longer prayer, recognize that and say, nice job. Nice job. If they're doing something, they're reading the Bible on their own, catch them doing that and say, nice job. Good going. If your kid is starting to ask questions, say, that was the best question I've heard of you today. We're going to talk about that more and more as the days go on. Keep up that great curiosity. Encourage every single step your child makes towards a deeper understanding of God and His plan.